This is literally the only place that Abraham purchased in this world. Why? Because the Bible says that we are pilgrims and strangers. We're just cruising by this life. Whatever we do, the most important thing is for heaven, eternity, the things of the spirit, not the things of the flesh. And this was Abraham's life.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul and Sharon have watched their kids and grandkids grow in faith, and they've experienced the Lord's faithfulness through the generations. For encouragement to look for God's work in your family, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com, or for a free DVD of Raul's story, call 800-634-9165. We're glad you've joined us as Raul returns to Genesis for a look at the end of Abraham's life. You'll see how Abraham passed the baton of faith to Isaac, and God remained true to his promised blessings over the family line, in spite of the imperfections of Abraham's descendants. As you stay with us, you'll be encouraged by this reminder that God is consistent in his care for his people, right down through the generations. Here's Raul Reese now in Genesis chapter 25 through 27.
And so it says, and Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. What a name. And she bore him Simram, and all these names you can read for yourself. And then verse 5. And then Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, and Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, and while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. Now what I find amazing about this is that as Abraham now is preparing to die, he actually gives everything to his son Isaac. Why? Because Isaac was the line of the Messiah. You see? He was the line of the Messiah. He's a type of Jesus Christ. But it's also interesting here that to the concubines, his other children, he gives them gifts. Just like the Holy Spirit gives you and myself gifts in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The 21 gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to the body of Jesus Christ as God puts together his bride to be used in the kingdom of God. And it's so exciting because God is always giving us gifts because we are his people. Because he loves us. He loves us so much that he's constantly blessing us and giving to us what he has prepared for those that love him. And so we see this beautiful typology here. And then verse 7, it says, and this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. Imagine that, 48 years longer than Sarah. And then Abraham breathed his last and he died. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and we begin to see again the promise of Adam's disobedience that every person dies physically. Nobody lives forever in the flesh. Everybody dies, just like the Bible says. There is appointment for a man to die and then the judgment. And so he dies in his good old age. And again, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered together to his people. What does he mean by that? Remember in the book of Luke's gospel, turn with me for a second to chapter 16. This is the place that he talks about. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19. He says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and was actually fair and just beautiful dressed every day. But there was also a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, and was at the gates begging, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and they licked up his sores. And so it was that when the beggar died, he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Now, what I find interesting is that when you and I die, like Abraham dying, that a lot of times when a person's in the hospital or you're dying at home or you're dying on an accident scene, it's important that you understand that when you die, the angels are going to be there to take you to the next life. Now, the next life depends on how you have conducted yourself and who you have accepted as your personal Lord and Savior. The moment you die, you enter eternity. And the angels come to take you either to the place of torment or the place of comfort. That is, heaven or hell. At this particular time, before Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead, every Old Testament saint went to hell. In hell, there were two compartments: the place of the wicked, the place of the righteous, and there was a gulf separating between the one and the other. Look what it says. Verse 23. And then being in torments, the rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Notice that. There was a place on the other side of hell where not only Adam and Eve and all of the Old Testament saints before Abraham, they were all in that side waiting, which was called Abraham's bosom, in the center of the earth. They were waiting for Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross and then resurrect. And then he descended to hell to let the captives free. And then hell extended its borders. The whole center of the earth became hell, where before there were two compartments, one for the wicked and one for the righteous. Look what it says again. And being in torment in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in the bosom. Did you know that in hell people have eyes to see? There's life after death. Not only do they have eyes, but they have all five senses. They can hear, they can smell, they can taste, they can think, they can touch. All five senses are in full operation in life after death. Here we have the confirmation by Jesus that this is true. Watch what else happens. And then he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Notice, they can feel the torment. They can feel the heat. This is part of the torment in hell that people have to go through. They can't ever be cool. They can't ever taste water ever again. They're constantly in torment, not only mentally, but physically, being tormented day and night. And then he said that he cried out and he wanted him to come over and dip because he was actually tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, son, notice, now he could think back on his life. Why don't you go back and remember that in your lifetime, you received every good thing and likewise Lazarus, every evil thing. Hey, you were rich. You had the money to buy whatever you wanted to buy, but this poor beggar had nothing. And then he said, in your lifetime, you had everything, but Lazarus, nothing. Now he's comforted and you are tormented. And between us and you, he says, there's a great gulf fixed separating so that those who want to pass over here from there cannot, and those that want to go from here cannot go over there. And then he says, then I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Notice that in hell, he still remembered his family. In hell, he could still think about his mom, his dad, his brothers, and his sisters, and his friends. The only place where you have no more remembrance is where in heaven. No more suffering, no more death, no more remembrance of anything evil. God gives you a whole new mind. He blocks out everything that is evil, but not so in hell. For the rest of eternity, once hell is cast into the lake of fire and in the white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, and they stand before God and the books are open and then they're judged and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, they're going to be with five senses being tormented for all eternity. Think about that. Is it worth it to go to hell? A lot of people don't think like that. But yet, because we are believers, we can see it by first experience here as we see it in the scriptures, what God says in his word. Nothing is worth hell. Nothing. And then he says this. Verse 27, he says, and he said, I beg you, therefore, Father Abraham, that if you would send somebody to my father's house, he says, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Notice, can you give him a warning about this place? Notice that in hell, he could think of his family and he could think of every one of his brothers, thinking what his brothers were doing. Do you think it would be possible to go back and kind of warn my brothers? I don't want them to come in. Can you imagine how many people would love to come back and warn you tonight about this place, hell? It's not a place where people say it's a place of partying, like the Rolling Stones said. When we get to hell, we're going to rock and roll. Yeah, sure. You better read the Bible first. The Bible says you're going to be tormented day and night. But he said unto him, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe, even if anyone would die and rise again from the dead. And who's that? Jesus Christ died and rose, and still people don't believe. They don't believe. They don't believe in eternity. They only believe in the temporal, the now. The now, right now. What can I do now? Then verse 9, back in chapter 25, verse 8, he says, and Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and gathered together to his people. And then his son Isaac, notice the son of promise, and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the field of Ephron, the son of Sor, the Hittite. Now, this is actually in Hebron. Before the Arabs took over this place, and you could actually go down when you took the Jewish tours, you could go down there. For the last 7 years, we haven't been able to go down to Hebron because they stoned the buses. You know, the Arabs don't want you nearby there. But we usually would stop to visit the sepulcher of Abraham and Sarah. They were buried there in Hebron. That place is still there today in Machpelah, it's called. It's still there today, to this point in time. And so we see how the actual Bible is accurate in this definition. And then he said, the field which Abraham had purchased from the sons of Heth. This is literally the only place that Abraham purchased in this world. Why? Because the Bible says that we are pilgrims and strangers. We're just cruising by this life. Whatever we do, the most important thing is for heaven, eternity. The things of the spirit, not the things of the flesh. And this was Abraham's life. And there Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac according to the promise. And Isaac dwelt in Beer-la Horoi, which is actually means he who lives and sees. Speaking of God. They were actually wells that they were actually building. And so God sees between you and me. Remember when Abraham came to the land between the Hittites? God make a covenant with you and me because God sees between you and me. That's what it literally means here. And so we see again the terminology used here concerning this well and this place of Beer-la Horoi. And then he says, and now in verses 12 through verses 34, we have the descendants of Abraham's sons. First of all, he starts with Ishmael, then he speaks of Isaac, and then their sons, and the birth of their sons, as we see that here. First, it begins in verse 12, and now these are the genealogy of Ishmael, Abraham's son, who Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham. Remember that Hagar was not his literal wife, but she was the servant, the concubine. And Sarah made the mistake of asking her husband to lay with her to give her a child because she had no children and they were getting old in age. And instead of waiting upon God's promises, she made the mistake and he made the mistake for the first time to listen to his wife. He shouldn't have listened to his wife. And it cost him. Ishmael was born. And Ishmael became the type of the flesh. These are the Arabs, the Arab nations. Isaac are the Jews. The line of the Spirit, the line of the Messiah, and their brothers, and they hate each other even today. You can see the conflict as we see that here in the Old Testament. And so we see here all of the names. Verse 17, and these were the years of the life of Ishmael. Now he dies 137 years, and he breathed his last, and he died and was gathered to his people. So here he lives 10 more years longer than Sarah, and 38 years less than Abraham, and he dies. And they dwelt in Havilah, far as Shur in the east of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. And here, notice where the Arabs live. It's a type. Egypt is a type of the world. And so we see the Arabs here. And then he died in the presence of all his brethren. So we see again how now here Ishmael dies and things are going to change now. Now from verses 19 to 34, now we have the line of the Messiah. That's the line we want to follow, Isaac. And this is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Notice how beautiful the promises of God. If you find yourself as a woman and you can't get pregnant, whether the problem's with the male or the female, it may also be the problem with the Lord. He may not want you to conceive. I think it's important that after you do all the testing to see who's fertile or who's not fertile, that you just give it up to the Lord. For it's the Lord that gives and the Lord that takes away. Every time you read in the scriptures, the Lord opened the womb to the woman. When in the book of Samuel chapter 1, the introduction to Samuel, when the book opens, there's a guy that has two wives. Penuel is one of them, and the other one is the mother of Samuel. And she really is loveless by her husband, and she has no children, and the other wife seems to mock her every day because she's not barren. And so what she did is she went down to the temple, and as she was there weeping and praying before the Lord, Eli the priest just happened to come in, and she thought she was drunk. And she said, "Woman, you shouldn't be drunk in the house of the Lord." And she says, "Oh no, my Lord, I'm not drinking. It's only like 10 o'clock in the morning. I am sorrowful of spirit and heart. Why? Because I don't have a child." And right there, Eli the priest began to commune with her, and he says, "You know, if God would give me a son, I would give it back to him." And it was a time where the judges were living, where everybody was doing right, what was right in their own eyes. There were no leaders in submission to God. It was a time when God was looking for a man that he could use. And God answered her prayer, and she became pregnant with Samuel. His name Samuel in Hebrew means asked of God. Beautiful name. Asked of the Lord. I prayed and he answered me. How cool. When you see the Lord does that. And that's the way it should be. Not only asking for a child, but asking for anything in my name. I will give it to you according to my will. Not according to our will. I'm kind of leery today. I mean, I think it's great to have children and to have grandchildren. But I fear the world today. I fear what's surrounding us, what's happening. Especially as Satan in the last 20 years has totally ripped up a whole generation. The X generation children has totally consumed them in this generation. They don't know where they're heading. They don't know what they want. And so I think it's proper for a husband and a wife to pray about how many children you should have. As the scriptures speak to us, and we have to be in the will of God. God, how many children do you want to give to me? Lord, me and my wife are praying. Whatever you want to have given us, we'll accept it. And that's neat. And we see that same thing here as they're praying, and God answers their prayer. When she got pregnant, she had a bad pregnancy. These two kids were always fighting in the womb. Notice that. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "Man, I wonder if everything's okay. Why am I this way?" And what's happening is Jacob and his brother Esau were fighting inside of the womb. Amazing. And so she went and inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told her, "Lord, what's going on inside here?" Notice this. And the Lord spoke to her and said, "Hey, you got two nations in your womb." Can you imagine if God told you that? Two nations. Lord, what do you mean, God? Two nations you're carrying. "Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." Notice the promise of God. I want you to remember that, because Rebecca is going to try to help God out. Be careful of helping God out. God already had made the promise. To who? To Jacob, not to Esau. And yet, Here we see that Jacob is a type of the spirit, the spiritual man, and Esau becomes the type of the fleshly wild man. And they're both in the womb. Jacob is kind of the kitchen boy. He's like a mother's boy, a mommy boy. And then Esau is a man's man. He, you know, he's wild and he doesn't take baths. I mean, he stinks. He smells. I mean, that's the kind of guy that he is. He's out in the woods all the time. And I mean, you'll see the story. It's an incredible story here. And then verse 24, and so when her days were fulfilled for her birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. Now, I don't know anything about twins. We never had twins. But some of people that have triplets and quadruplets. Oh, man. Imagine that. And then the first came out red. Can you imagine? Redhead. Boom, came out. And he was like a hairy garment. I mean, he was full of, covered with hair. Red hair. And all over. And they call him Esau. Hairy. That's his name in Hebrew. So they would give him the name according to the situation. Honey, we're going to name him Harry. Look at him. Monkey. And afterward, his brother came out and his hand took a hold of Esau's heel and his name was called Jacob. Now, check this out. Here comes Esau out of the womb and old Jacob is holding his brother back, holding onto his heel. Won't let you go. But it's amazing when he's coming out of the womb, here comes Harry, Esau, and here comes Jacob behind. So they said, honey, we're going to call this guy Jacob, heel catcher, because he was holding out to his brother's heel. But in the Hebrew, his name heel catcher meant deceiver or conniver, because he will be a conniver when it comes to the things of the Lord.
Next time, we'll explore the consequences of Esau's rash trade for a bowl of soup. But for today, we hope you've been encouraged by the evidence of God's faithfulness in the lives of imperfect people. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, it's available for a gift of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's message from Genesis chapters 25 through 27. We'd also like to offer you a resource that will inspire you to renew your commitment to the Lord with a deeper sense of devotion. Titled Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In, this hardcover book from Jim Cimbala features the true stories of others who've navigated life's storms in the strength of Christ. It also illuminates the unique challenges that you'll face as an end times believer and explores how you can stay in step with the Lord in any circumstance. Act now to order Storm, Hearing Jesus for the Times We Live In. We'll send your copy for just $10 plus shipping and handling. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to place your order. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by sending a check, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We'd also like to tell you about new ways that you can get free biblical teaching from Somebody Loves You Radio. Search Somebody Loves You Worldwide to subscribe to Raul's new YouTube channel. Fresh content is featured every week, along with a wide selection of Raul's legacy studies, as well as more recent messages. And be sure to check out the new Somebody Loves You app as well. It's available to download for free on your iPhone or Android. And of course, every Somebody Loves You radio program can be downloaded as a podcast through Spotify and iTunes, and streamed on any Alexa-powered device. Whether you connect with us online or on the radio, our commitment is to support you in pursuing a healthy and authentic relationship with the Lord, and we welcome your feedback. Don't forget, Somebody Loves You Radio is funded through the generosity of listeners like you, and every gift you give is tax deductible. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll explore the consequences of compromise in the lives of Jacob and Esau. You'll get a challenge to stand your ground in the bedrock of God's perfect will. Here's Raul now with a final comment.
And Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. And so the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, known as a man of the field. He smelled like the field. And Jacob was actually a mama's boy, known as a mild man dwelling in the tents. He liked cooking, and that's nothing wrong with that. I like to cook too, but I mean, this guy stayed in the kitchen all the time. And so here we see him. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. See, the reason, here's the problem in a situation of family. When you have children in your home and you love one more than the other, and you play them against each other. You can't do that. That's what Rebecca and Isaac did here against their voice. Look what it says. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebecca loved Jacob. And now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was tired. And when Esau smelled what Jacob was cooking, he was a good cook. He said, "Hey, brother, man, I'm tired. I don't feel like cooking. Hey, why don't you give me something to eat?" He loved lentils. It's still a specialty among the Arabs. They put, olives in it, oil, and onions, and tomatoes. Oh, man, delicious lentils. And so when he smelled it, immediately he told his brother, "Hey, brother, why don't you give me a whole pod of lentils?"
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.